you very much. Everybody. Love you. Wow. Wow. Thank you. Please sit down. You know, sometimes in these big, luxurious conferences in Europe where everybody is dressed in ball gowns, they say, I am in the company of royalty. And we are in the company of royalty today. You are the royalty of tomorrow because of the people that you are and the things that you are creating. Howard and I were just talking about that, that these people are some of the most wonderful, smartest, most intelligent, ambitious people in America, if not the world. And so it's an honor for us to be able to give you a few tidbits that you can use to go forward even faster. And that's my goal today. But we're going to talk about goals. Well, my goal, I had a consulting process with two executives. They paid me $50,000 for the day to give them advice on their business. So I quickly went to AI and downloaded. What are 10 ways that a person can improve their sales and profitability in this business? And I got the 10, and I semi-memorized them, and I spoke very intelligently for the whole day. Anyway, I said to them when we got together, I said, now, my goal for you today is for you to get 10 times the value of what you're paying me. 10 times. I always use the number 10 times. And then I strive to give you 10 times the value of the time that you are giving to Howard and I today. And I said, would that be a good goal for our time today? And they said, that would be great. So at the end of the day, I asked, well, how did we do? Did we achieve our goal in terms of 10 times your business? He said, we got 100 times. He said, this day was worth 100 times. And we're not all going to say that today, but we're aiming for that. Howard and I are aiming for 100 times. is that a good goal? Okay.
Right.
So the starting point is to double your income and then double it again and then double it again. And I'm going to give you some methods and techniques that have worked for other people to enable them to double their income. I think as a result of our time together here, you should, in the next year, earn at least twice as much as you ever earned before. And you will. And you will. I promise you that. Just like my consulting clients, they said they got 100 times the value, and their business is worth $130 million. And they said, with this material, we can build a $1 billion business. And I've spoken to them since and follow up, and I believe they will. But just imagine that. Just some tweaks in what you're doing. Many years ago, there was a restaurant in Tijuana, Mexico, just below the border. And it was owned by a man named, I think, Cesar Chavez or something like that. Anyway, he ran out of the ingredients for salad one day, and people ordered salad when they came to his restaurant. So he took some different ingredients. Instead of regular lettuce, he got romaine lettuce, and instead of one sauce, he used garlic, and he whipped together a different salad and served it, and everybody went crazy about it. They said, it's fantastic. It was called, and because his name was Caesar, they called it the Caesar salad, and people began coming from everywhere to get his Caesar salad. Does anybody here like Caesar salad? Yeah. Now, by the way, I have a website. It's called briantracy.com, and there is free stuff on the website. And I spent several years developing a Caesar salad recipe. Now, the analogy is that you spend several years developing a success recipe, and you have a recipe for success, and you put several ingredients into that recipes, some of which we'll talk about today. And what I found is sometimes people inadvertently don't know about another ingredient. And they put the other ingredient in. One of them is vinegar. It's a, my mind's gone blank on me. Tarragon vinegar. Geez, a room full of geniuses. Wow. Anyway, tarragon vinegar and just one tablespoon will transform a Caesar salad from good to being superb. So anyway, I have a website, and on my website is Brian Tracy's Caesar salad. And it's my recipe that I spent years developing, and everybody, 100% of people who download it and use it say they prepared a salad. You must follow it exactly. Don't, you know what, around. You just follow it exactly. And and the first time you use it, you will create the best Caesar salads you've ever had. And from then on, you'll be able to use it. My granddaughter makes Caesar salad for her family, my daughter and is her husband. And then they send me a little message saying, we had your Caesar salad today. I said, great, that's great. So anyway, go to BrianTracy.com, and it's hidden a little bit. I think it's called free resources or something like that. You'll find it and download it. There's no charge. We don't charge for that. So, and there's other things that you can get that we don't charge for other. But go there and get the recipe. My point about the recipe is this, is you can have a recipe for success, and you all do, but you could be missing one ingredient, and one ingredient will cause the salad to taste not as good. And somebody else who has that ingredient, it may be racing ahead in terms of sales and profitability. Howard and I were talking about our goal today, and we determined that there's three reasons why you come to this conference. And the three reasons are to make more money. We call it MMM. You're all here for MMM. Is that true? Say yes. Yes. Of course. Nobody came here to lose money. Nobody came here to earn less. We came here to earn more. So how do you earn more money? Well, you earn more money with you MMM by SMSing. And what is SMS? Sell more stuff. That's it. Go home now. The fact is that is our job. It's our goal. Now, how do you sell more stuff? Well, what you do is you convince your customer that they will be better off with your product than without, and better off with the amount of money that they spend on your product than spending it on something else. That's how you sell. Marketing and selling, the two things are, marketing is where you say, how many people here are hungry? And everybody who's hungry will raise their hand. Now you're selling your restaurant, and then what you do is you sell. How do you sell? How do you persuade them, if they're hungry, to come to your restaurant rather than something else? That is the entire business of business, is identifying people who want and need and can use and can be better in their lives or work with your product or service, and then showing them that yours is the best choice. This is the key. People always buy the best choice. By the way, people, two things. People don't buy products. They buy how they expect to be after they use the product. That's what they buy. Second of all, price is not a factor. Price is not a factor. People do not buy on the basis of price. Now, I used to say this with my audiences, average 2,000 salespeople. I say, people don't buy your product on the basis of price. And they'd all go, boo, 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 boo. Of course they do. They always ask, it's one word, it's condensed into one word. It's machizen, 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 machizen. And they're always asking, how much is it? And so customers are always thinking, well, what they're concerned about is price. It's price. You've got to lower the price. and you've got to have the best product at the lowest price and so on. And I say, no, price is never the reason for buying anything. And they go, boo, boo, this person doesn't know what I'm talking about because he gets this price objection all the time. And I've studied the subject of price objection. I could spend a day talking to you about dealing with price objections. But here's how I can prove that price is never the reason for buying anything. It's always the benefit. And if the people want the benefit, they don't care about the price. How many people here in this room have a single item about you that you bought because it was the cheapest available? How many? Not a one. Nobody bought something ugly or useless or worthless because it was cheap. You didn't buy because it was cheap. You bought because, all things considered, the benefit from it was really good, and then price just fades away as a concern. I mean, why do they sell diamonds and diamond necklaces and diamond bracelets? And each diamond is worth thousands of dollars. What is the most successful jewelry store chain in the world? Ta-da, come on. Tiffany's. Oh, come on. And Tiffany's has a little blue box. If you give someone who you love, which I've done, something from Tiffany's, they go, whoa, it's from Tiffany's. It's a Tiffany stone. Now, it may be the same as the jewelry store down the street, but Tiffany's can charge 10 times as much because it's from Tiffany's. And it's the value, it's the fact that people will notice, is that from Tiffany's? Yes, it is. Ooh. And people will pay 10 times for the emotional value of a Tiffany's product. My point is that don't worry about price. Worry about value, benefits. People always practice what is called futurity. Is they think about how they're going to be in the future. Show them that with your product or service, their future will be better cost-effectively than anything else they can do. No matter what they pay you, they're going to get so much value. By the way, Howard and I were talking about this, and I've said it before, but I think that your business models are wonderful because everybody here sells free products. It's free. Everybody here is in the business of free. What do you sell? Free products and services that can improve your life. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I used to sell products on the stage, and I sold millions of dollars. I sold more than anybody else alive. My friend, the president of the National Speakers Association, said, Brian sells more products than God. When it was true. And other speakers used to come and watch me do my presentation. And the presentation was very simple. I would speak like this for 90 minutes, and then I'd say, now we have some really good educational products that can really help you to go to the next level, and let me explain each one of them. So I would take 10 six cassette or six CD albums, and I would explain each one. I said, and then I finished the last one, I said, and now we have a special today, they're all free. And the audience would explode with cheers. I said, no, it's a special form of free. And they would all go, boo. Because I've raised their blood level for the products. I described the products really well. I mean, that's important. And I'd say, now, let me explain what it is. What you do is you take any one of these programs and you listen to it and you practice what you learned, time management, sales, closing, business building, and so on. I say, and if the product does not more than pay for itself and turn out to be free in your estimation, you have 1 year to keep the product, try it out, use it, send it back, and we'll give you 100% refund, no questions asked. And they say, So, in reality, it's free. It's free plus a profit. What you sell is free plus a profit. Wow. Free plus a profit. Now, I used to work for IBM as a speaker. I spoke for them more than 30 times. They really liked me. They booked me over and over again. I had a special talk that I designed for them, which became part of their curriculum. IBM does more and better training than most companies in the world. They have about 2,000 training programs that they offer over the course of time. They require that you take at least 1 week of training per year, if not two or three, in individual days, 1 day, 2 days, or they encourage you to go somewhere else. It's called firing. And so everybody knows, if you're not learning, then you will not stay here. So they train their people, so they're the best trained salespeople. When I went to work for them in 1983, 84, they had 82% of the world market. 82% of the world market. Now imagine if you had 82% of your market for your product or service. 82%. Now, how did they do it? How did they do it? Well, I learned. And I just was sort of in awe, you know, it's like a stripper who takes it all off. And I go, ah. I'm sorry, Howard. That just came out. I've never used that analogy before. It's okay.
Should I move?
No, please don't you take it all off. That would be terrifying.
Where did all this come from?
I'm sorry.
I said,
Howard took me out, and we were drinking and dancing with strippers most of the night, and so. You noticed he disappeared. Where did he go? Sorry about that. I promise not to tell everybody. Anyway, actually, the truth is that because of delays and weather and everything else, Michael and I arrived here at midnight. So we didn't go anywhere. I'm just pushing your leg here. So now, how did IBM get 82% of the world market? Highly competitive, smart, aggressive competitors, and they had 82%. They had so much of the market that the federal government, bless their little pointed heads, decided to sue them under the antitrust laws for violation of customers' rights, that they were selling so much they must have been doing something diabolical, something evil, to get all those sales. So they brought a charge against them, and for 13 years they chased them and interviewed customers. And now Reagan finally came into power, and they brought this case to him, and he said, either bring charges, said to the antitrust department, either bring charges or drop the charges, but stop this harassment. Either they've done something or they haven't done something. So why is it that they have such huge market share, 82%? And I'm going to show you how to get it, by the way. So simple, it should be illegal. Anyway, they said, they went and they interviewed their customers, and they said, why do you buy from IBM when you have offers from every other computer company in the world? He said, and you know what they said? We like them better. They take better care of us. Give us good service. They're thoughtful. They plan. They come prepared for every meeting. If ever we have a problem with an IBM piece of equipment, they'll have an expert in there to fix it within the same day. They will not even open an office like they opened an office in Anchorage. They wouldn't open an office in Anchorage until they had trained, professional mechanics who could work with computers and typewriters. Remember the old IBM Ball typewriter? Unless they could repair it, they wouldn't sell it. And so that gave them the very best service of any company in the industry, and people liked them. And so Reagan said, either you bring charges or drop the charges. So they dropped the charges, and then 15 minutes later, they said, what are we going to do? We've got rooms full of people who've been harassing IBM for 13 years. Well, let's go after someone else. Who else would be good? Microsoft. Microsoft had this idea, a computer on every desktop. Everybody should have a computer. Everybody should have a computer that they can use. Smaller computers, easier computers, and so on. Apple jumped into the, what do they call the swirl behind the boat? Apple jumped into it with a different type of computer, and so people bought that computer. Soon, and the head of IBM, by the way, when they were showing the Microsoft type of computer, they said, how many of these computers do you think they'll sell? He said, there's probably a market for between 150 and 200 desktop computers in the world. We don't have to worry about it. And that was the death knell for IBM. Now every other computer company in the world is eating at their market. They had this idea that people didn't want ease and convenience and speed and low cost and better customer relationships. They had to say, nah, no problem there. They fired that president, by the way, and they brought in a new president. And the new president was the head of RJR Nabisco. His name was it Lou Gerstner? I think it was Lou Gerstner. Anyway, they hired him when IBM was going down, like a plane crashing, and losing billions of dollars. And they said, turn this company around. He said, you've done a great job selling biscuits. They called him the cookie salesman. And they made him president of IBM, which was still the biggest in the world. And he came in and he said, I don't even know how to turn on a computer. I know nothing about computers, but I do know about sales. I do know about sales. So we're going to change this orientation where the salespeople had been spurned. And they said, sales is the dirty part of our business. We have to do it, but we're basically an engineering company. We're basically sit around the office most of the day and talk about great things, like who's going to win the football game on the weekend. And he said, no. He says that the salespeople are the lifeblood of our company. And so he called a big sales meeting, 500, 800 top salespeople, brought them in from all over the country. And he got up in front of the stage. He said, I don't know anything about computers. He said, but I do know that you are the most important people in this company. You're the lifeblood of this company, the sales. He said, and from now on, sales eats first. I love that. Sales eats first. From now on, the salespeople are going to be the heroes and heroines of our business. Now, how do they, and they turned the company around completely. IBM is now, again, the biggest in the world. But how did they sell? Well, the answer is very simple. Is when they made the first call, they made no attempt to sell. They made only an attempt to understand the customer's situation. Then they would go away and come back with a presentation and show that their product, no matter how much it cost, and sometimes it cost hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars to put computers for a big international company, they showed that no matter how much it cost, this is how much you will save from day one, day two, day three, month one, month two. And they would show that their product was free because it paid for itself within a few months, maybe a year and a half, and then from then on it was all pure profit from using an IBM machine. And as a result, they had 82% of the world market. And when they tried to sue them, people told the government regulators, we buy from IBM because we like IBM. They take better care of us than anybody else. Now, why am I telling you this story?
Because you're an awesome storyteller.
AC says because I'm an awesome storyteller.
No, so I can make more money by selling more stuff.
Yeah! Oh, praise Jesus. Now, how... Now, why is it that that people will buy from you? It's because you tell them that if you use my products, they're free. Why? Because this is what will be the savings or the improvement in your operations. And at this point, and IBM, their whole presentation was showing that at day 221, the product has paid for itself, and from then on, all profit, all net. The product is free. It pays for itself. How could you resist a company with nice people, professionals, that care about you and are dedicated and says, and we will be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to service you if you have a problem with our product. And if they had a problem with the product, they took it personally. They say, this is all, and they'd bring in the best people from Europe. They'd fly them in on first class and get them out there to help their clients so their clients' programs work. So if a person if you are selling free products, which you are, then you're actually selling products that are free plus a profit. So in my presentation, I would say, now, my guarantee is that you take these programs and listen to them. If they don't more than pay for themselves, then there's no charge. And the salespeople, very smart, say, sounds like a good deal. No charge. And they'll give me 100% guarantee, and the product will pay for itself, so it turns out to be free plus a profit. And I sold millions of dollars of product. I have a big house that overlooks the golf course, and I have to use a cart to get from one end of it to the other. And it's what you can do with your life is wonderful. So, what is it? What is the reason why people don't buy? I'm supposed to be talking about goals, and I will be any minute. Why is it that people buy? People buy because they expect to be better off as a result. Why is it that they don't buy? It's the fear of risk. Risk. I say the word. Risk. 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 Like in a haunted house. Risk. Risk everywhere. So people, believe it or not, you'll find this hard to believe, people have been burnt in the past. They bought something that didn't work or didn't work properly, and they lost their money and they lost their time. They made a bad decision. So now they're really risk-averse. They're like jumpy dogs. And you come along and you say, I have this really good product or service. And they say, well, what if it doesn't work? What if everything you say, you're a nice person, but what if you are not telling me the complete truth? Well, and then they say these words, let me think about it. Let me think about it means goodbye forever. We'll never meet again. I used to think I had half the city thinking about my product because everybody said, let me think about it. I'll think about it. I'm thinking about it. I call them up. How are you doing? Still thinking about it. Or I call them up and I found that there was a thing out there called the eternal meeting. The eternal meeting. You call back on a prospect and they are in a meeting. Yes, they are. And every time you call, by gum, they're still in the meeting. Or they're in another meeting. The words, let me think about it, means goodbye forever. We'll never meet again. I'll never buy your product or recommend it to anyone else. And why is that? It's because you did not take away the risk. So how do you take away the risk? How do Howard and I do this? We unconditionally guarantee happiness and satisfaction. And if for any reason at all you're not happy, you don't have to go to the sixth floor and to the complaints department. Give me your money back. We'll give you your money back so fast your hand will burn. You say, geez, I need a bandage. I got that money. That's so much. The money came back so fast. That's right. And why? Because if you're not happy, we're not happy. And this is the key to IBM's having 82% of the market, is your products and services are good. They're free plus a profit. And your job is to explain it to them and give them an unconditional guarantee of satisfaction. If you're not happy for any reason, we'll be furious. We will be so upset. It's just not acceptable. And you be adamant, and IBM was adamantly in favor of the customer. They were customer advocates. They worked for the customer. They were a member of the customers, an unpaid member of the customer's staff. They were available to help on strategic planning, in marketing, in budgeting, anything that the company needed. They could call their IBM rep, and the IBM rep had been trained in these many courses, had been trained to be able to help them solve their problems and achieve their goals. So people bought an IBM product, and boy, they'll never be talked out of it to buy something else. And who bought the Apple products? Well, there's probably 20% of the market are younger and brighter, and they like faster stuff. And what's the first thing that people did when they bought an Apple product? They played games. What's the first thing you did when you bought an IBM product? You put all of your business onto the product, so everything was available with a touch of a button. Anyway, what you sell is really good. It's really valuable. It's worth 10 times what you're offering. And it pays for itself, and it's free. You're walking around selling free products to qualified customers. And what you could even say is our products turn out to be free for most of our customers, free plus a profit. Let me ask you a couple of questions and see if they would be free for you. Will people answer those questions? That it's not a sale. You're not selling. You're just finding a way to give them great services for free. And if you do that, you sell free products. The key is warranties and guarantees. If you believe that your product or service is good, guarantee the damn thing. Tell them, no, if you're unhappy for any reason at all, by gum, you're going to get your money back. You're going to get your money back so fast your hand will burn. You'll need medical attention. So this is how you increase, you make more money by selling more stuff. You sell more stuff by simply persuading the customer with great confidence. And I remember I had an IBM rep. I said, why do people buy from you? They're set upon by Ricoh and Microsoft. They buy from us because they like us. And that's what they found in 13 years of lawsuit, that people like IBM because IBM takes care of them and sells them what kind of products? Rhymes with B. Free products. Yeah. How could you go wrong? You buy a $300 million IBM installation to motorize or systematize your million customers, and they're free. And you've got the best people in the world installing and servicing your products all for free. Is that a good deal? Say yes. Yeah. So the fact is, what I told you is already true. I mean, you are selling free products, and you know it. And every so often, you sort of explain how the product pays for itself, and the nickel drops, and people buy it. And you say, boy, that was a good sale. That was an easy sale. I wonder what I said. Okay, anyway, I have studied successful people. When I was 24 years old, I was broke. I was sleeping on the floor of a friend's apartment. I was unemployed. I had no money. They say, you know, I lost about 20 pounds. I said I never missed a meal, but I did postpone some of them indefinitely. So I wasn't doing too well, and there was a magazine, and the magazine said, if you want to be successful, you've got to have goals. So I had nothing else to do, and I said, if you want to be successful, write down 10 goals and then work on them every day. So I found a blank piece of paper and wrote down 10 goals, and I probably lost the 10 goals, but I remember what they were. Number one was always to MMM, and then number two or three was to SMS, make more money, sell more stuff, get a job in sales somehow, because I had no other skills. Well, within 1 month, I'd accomplished all 10 goals. I remember the goals in my mind. Is to eat more, if at all, and it was to sell more, it was to earn more money, it was to get my own place, it was to buy better clothes, it was to get a car. I mean, all 10 were achieved in 30 days. And I'm like, geez, this is like touching a hot wire. Whoa, geez. And so I became a lifelong fanatic on goals. I have written on goals, taught on goals, put together seminars all over the world in 55 languages on goals. I've sold millions and millions of books in 84 countries. I mean, and it's all goals, goals, goals. People come up to me on the street and say, you're Brian Tracy, which I can't deny. And they say, you changed my life. You made me rich. I was at a big conference, Black Tie, in Washington, 2,500 people at a special meeting last year, and a man came up to me from the crowd and said, you're Brian Tracy. And I said, yes. He said, you changed my life. You made me rich. I've heard that 1,000 times. You changed my life. You made me rich. You changed my life. You made me rich. You changed my life. Howard and I are going to make you rich, and we'll show you. Have we ever got something for you? Oh, my God. We have been working on it for the last 6 months, and it is so good. It's just dangerous. Have we told them about it yet?
Tonight at the VIP,
they'll learn about it. Okay, we'll tell them about it at the VIP. I can't. Can't tell you before that. It's a little bit of a secret, but soon it'll be a secret that everybody in the world knows. Yeah, we'll have about 16 languages on the subject within 30 days. People all over the world will be using this thing, right? Yes. And you know. That when you're with Howard, you're in the presence of greatness. I've known Howard most of my adult life, and he is a great man. He's a great man. I love him. But aside from that, of course, he's already paid me, so I... I'm not going to get any benefit or advantage. So anyway, Oh, I was saying something. It was really important about goals. And I'm going to talk to you about goals today. So anyway, I am now with my book, Goals, How to Get Everything You Want Faster Than You Ever Thought Possible. The third edition is coming out soon. That means that there are two previous editions. It's now sold more than 1 million copies in 39 languages. It's the best-selling book on goals in history. And I'm not trying to sell the book because it's a secret amongst authors who don't get very much per book in royalties. They give you 15% after. Then you get your 15% based on the amount of money the publisher has after they have paid everything and after everybody else has consumed the product. So if you sell 1,000 books, what do you get? You get 1,000 times $15, it's $1,500. It takes you 6 months to write a book and 3 years to get it published and then an enormous amount of time and you get $1,500. The average book, non-profit, non fiction book sells 1,200 copies before it dies and disappears from the market. So that's what you're going to get, $15. But when you have a book, you become the expert in that area. A book is a business card that tells people that if they buy from you, they're going to be happy and satisfied and so on. And Howard and I are going to produce a book for you. Shit. I'm sorry. And it's going to help you because your number one goal, let me see if I can guess your goals, okay? Your goal is to make more money. Jeez. That was exhausting. And your goal, your other goal, is to have enough money so that you never worry about money again. Right. You have so much money. Your only concern is how to spend it well. That's your second goal. How am I doing? And your third goal is to have a wonderful, happy family life. And your fourth goal is to have absolutely excellent physical health. And your fifth goal is to come to every Howard Partridge function for the rest of your life. Right? Is that true? Yeah. So say yes. Say yes. Yes. Of course. Why? And why? It's because you want to have a wonderful life. You want to be happy. There's nothing worse than worrying about money. It just makes you crummy inside. Think about money. Go to sleep worrying about money. Sit around the family dinner table worrying about money. Money, money. We can't do it. Do you know, my family came from Britain and they had a royal motto. Yes? The royal motto is, we can't afford it. It was everywhere. We can't afford it. What about this? What about that? You're just a child. You're growing up. We can't afford it. 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 Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Say yes. Come on. Yes. Jeez. They think I'm an entertainer, and they're supposed to sit there quietly and not say anything. Yes, of course. And you want to reach the point where you never say that again. Where you have enough money that the only thing you do is spend it intelligently. But if you need something, you buy it. If you want something, you buy it. Do you want to tell my wife when we go out for dinner, we both came from poor families, and she's looking at the menu, and she says, I like this, but I like that. I said, well, order them both. What we don't eat, we'll take home. I said, honey, we're not poor anymore. And she looks at me, and she still has that old schooling, is that we can't afford it. We can't afford it. So maybe we could take a salad and split it, and then I could share this with you. I said, honey, it's all free. They have a special tonight. Everything is free. Oh, what do we mean by that? We mean it doesn't matter what it costs. It's free. We have enough to pay for this 100 times over. You can have anything that you want, and you can have two if you like. And you're not going to order a cheap bottle of wine. You're going to order a good bottle of wine. And on them other people. I almost said the other word that starts with phooey. Anyway, so that's the point that you want to achieve. The reason you're here, and many of you have already crossed the line, there's a huge difference between we can't afford it and we can buy whatever we want. Crossing that line means you go to sleep at night and you never worry about money. If you talk about money, you talk about how to use it intelligently, how to allocate it, how to spend it. But you don't talk about we can't afford it. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. We're poor. We can't afford it. We don't have enough money. boo-hoo. Tell your kids, I'm sorry we can't afford it. You need this or you need that. Well, I'm sorry we can't afford it. From the age of 10, for me, my parents basically cut me loose. Every penny I ever spent, I earned myself. I walked the neighborhoods with a push lawnmower and sold my services. And I sold my services for $1 or $2 for half a day to mow people's lawns. And eventually, yeah. You've done that? Yes, yes. Yeah, and I never complained. I never in my whole life complained. I was so happy to have a chance to make money through hard work. I could hardly. I used to run from place to place to run up to the door and knock on the door and offer to mow their lawns. And I did a lawn mowing route, and I needed a gas lawnmower. So my parents took me down to Sears, and they bought a lawnmower for me, and I had to pay for it myself. I had to pay $10 a month for 12 months. And in the wintertime, there were no lawns to mow, so I had to find other work. I'm 11 years old. I delivered newspapers at 5 o'clock in the morning. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, sure. Boy, does that ever build character. You've got to get up and you got to get down to the hut. You got to pull all your newspapers. You got to put them in a bag and you got to bicycle out and deliver newspapers. Then go home and get ready for school and go to school. And I used to clean up the parking lot of a hamburger joint. It's a good hamburger joint. But he said, well, I can't pay you any money, but we'll pay you in hamburgers. So you clean up the lot, you get $5 worth of hamburgers and french fries. So I used to go down at lunchtime, get my hamburgers and french fries at school, and then rush back to the school and sell hamburgers and french fries. I wanted to MMM, and the only way I could do it was to sell more stuff. So that's what everybody here is here because to MMM, never worry about money, and to SMS, just sell more stuff. And the way that you can do it is unconditionally guarantee happiness for what you sell. And in a way you think about it, I can do that. I can do that. I stand behind what I sell. And if the customer is not happy for any reason, they can have their money back. I only want happy customers. Only happy customers. If you are not happy for any reason, Mr. or Mrs. Customer, get your money back. No charges, no application, nothing to say, I'm not happy, I want my money back. And what I used to do is I would give a one-year guarantee from the stage. I give you this guarantee lasts for 1 year. And then I would say, but we have a problem. Our deliveries didn't arrive, so we don't have very many programs available today. So if you're ever going to get them, and they're free, you should get them right away, because we'll be out after the first break. So, okay, let's take a break. And I tell you what, they would attack, like in Lord of the Rings, they'd attack these cats. They would storm the product tables, which were in the back. We'd set up all the product tables during the talk, so when they turned around, there they were, all set. And they would attack them. They'd throw credit cards. I want them all. I still remember that. We made so much money. and our customers were happy. And we finally said, the heck with a one-year guarantee. We'll give you a lifetime guarantee. You can take these programs, and at any time in the rest of your life you want to send them back, you can. Do you know how many we got back? 1 in 400 sales. 1 in 400. And usually it was because they wanted to trade it for something else because this one wasn't appropriate. How to raise happy, healthy, self-confident kids so they didn't have any. So they would ask for their money back. So what I learned and what made me successful was goals. I discovered goals, and I studied goals, and I practiced goals, and setting and working on goals is like stepping gradually on the accelerator of your own life. You start to go faster and faster and faster toward the things that you want in life. So I'm going to give you a seminar, and then I'm going to give you a special gift from Howard and I to you, and no charge. And what is it? Oh, I'm just going to tell you later. But maybe you want to hear now. Yes, of course. Say it. Come on. Of course you do. All right. Well, I developed this program. It's called the 12-Step Goal Setting Guide. And there's another program, which is called How to Double Your Income, 10 Different Ways. This is something we'll talk about tomorrow. I love this program. The program will make you rich. Oh, God, it'll make you so rich. You think that you don't have to come to these seminars anymore. which of course is fatal. It's sort of like stop eating good food. Stop eating good mental food. Anyway, the 12-step goal setting guide, where is it? Where is it? The one word question, where's it? Where's it? It's on my website, RyanTracy.com. And it's free. It's free. So if you enjoy our conversation, go and get this. It's free. And if you use it, it's free plus a profit. All right. Let me explain. It's my little additions that make this really interesting. If it wasn't for me, okay. There's my glasses. I'm just going to give you 12 steps to change your life, double, triple, increase your income 10 times. How many people would like to increase their income 10 times? Say yes, say yes. Okay, I'm going to show you how, absolutely guaranteed. I was at a seminar in Seattle recently, and a young man came up to me, when I say young, 35, my age, which is a little older than that. 35 is young. Anyway, he came up to me and he said, Brian, he said, I was at your seminar, he said, a few years ago, and you gave us that goal, that way of increasing our income 10 times. I said, yes. He said, Brian, he said, didn't work. Didn't work for anybody in our company. He said, it was far too conservative. He said, this is the sixth year since I took your talk, and I began practicing your method every day, and I increased my income 10 times in 6 years. Not 10 years, 6 years. And everybody else increased their income 10 times in five, six, seven years. He said, it didn't work. You were too conservative. So that's the system I'm going to teach you at the end of our talk. As long as I remember, don't let me forget, because I've got, Howard's going to remind me. He's going to ask for his money back.
No more bad jokes.
All right. Number one goal is for you to decide exactly what you want. And I will give you the system to set and achieve your goals after I've given you this outline. And then tomorrow, I will give you the method to increase your income 10 times. Okay, so be sure to be with us tomorrow. Right? Don't miss it, or send someone else who can write if you can't. Okay. I don't know what I'm smoking, but it sure is good stuff. So number one, decide exactly what you want in each part of your life. Now, I want you to think in terms of what I call the magic wand. And the magic wand is really interesting. I gave this talk and somebody sent me a magic wand from a magic store. I have it on my desk. It's a magic wand. You take it out. It's like what magicians use. So imagine that you have a magic wand and you can wave this magic wand, and you can have or do or be anything that you want in life. So take the four areas of life. What is the ultimate aim of life? According to Aristotle, 350 BC, the ultimate aim of life is to be happy. Is to be happy. And if you're happy already, you use what is called the factor. And I'm going to write a book on this subject next year. It's called the factor, the ER factor. That is the comparative. And in life, we always look for the comparative. We want to be thinner. We want to be healthier. We want to be richer. We want to achieve our goals faster, easier, sooner, better, and so on. We call it the factor. Every single adjective with an er, it's called the comparative in the English language. And the comparative, it means that you want to improve. And that is one of the, that is the driving force of superior people. The driving force of, Howard and I were talking about how poor people who come to this country with nothing move up. And there's seven levels in American society. And the bottom is the poor with no skills, the ones that just came across the border and can't do anything because they probably worked on a farm and so on. And then at the very top, and it's a reverse pyramid, so it's two pyramids, bottom and then the top. The top are what are called the upper class. These are the Rockefellers and the people who have so much money. They're second generation rich. So to get into the upper class, you have to have a lot of money. $30 million net worth is the cutoff. That's the starting point. When you get before 30, who knows? You may be broke next week. But after $30 million, you're usually surrounded by financial advisors. Anyway, the point is that the number one reason why people go from the bottom, coming here as penniless immigrants with no language skills and no money, is called future orientation. They think about the future most of the time. And what do they think about in the future? They think about their goals. And here's the most astonishing thing that I found in all my years of research, is when you plant a goal inside your mind, just plant it, it starts to grow 24 hours a day. You start to attract into your life people and circumstances and opportunities to achieve the goal. You start to have coincidences and bump into people and find something in the paper. A friend of mine decided some years ago to become a millionaire selling something. And he was reading the newspaper. There's an article on how European bicycles were becoming very popular in America, but there were very few available because, you know, in Europe, they ride bicycles a lot. They have bicycle races and everything else. So he began to do a little bit of research, and he found that, yes, and they were expensive, too. They were two or three times as much, but they were great bicycles. You had several gears that you could ride faster and easier and so on. So he opened up a little store, and he bought one bike, and he offered it for sale. And people started to buy the damn thing and give him the money. So then he sent the money and he imported the bicycles. Before he was finished, he had 50 stores all over the United States generating funds, selling these incredible European bicycles that nobody had thought of. And he became a millionaire, yes. The goal of every person, Howard and I discussed this, the number one goal of every person in this room, if you're not already a millionaire, is to become a millionaire. You are going to become a millionaire. More people, entrepreneurs, are becoming millionaires today than at any other time in human history. There are more opportunities and possibilities, but they're changing rapidly. Is what works this week may not work the next week because of a competitive product or service that you have to then match. So you're in a game of what we call leapfrog, permanent leapfrog. You jump over your competitor jumps over you, you jump over your competitor jumps over you. It never stops. 24 hours a day, you're in battle. You are basically in battle to please your customers better than your competitors, to add new things to it, to use your creativity to make people happy. Yes. That's why people buy your product. It's the number one reason for buying a product is people assume that they will be happier with your product than without. Your job is to, first of all, demonstrate that this is true. IBM model, you will achieve much greater efficiency at a lower cost, guaranteed. I don't know anything about computers, but I will sure want that. I want to have more money at a lower cost, guaranteed. Is that a good pitch? Yeah, that's 82% of the world market of computers. Billions and billions and billions of dollars. People throwing their money at IBM. People paying two or three times as much for an IBM product and bragging about it. That's the key to success. Make people happier by serving them better, faster, sooner, easier, better, and so on. It's always er. And every day think, how can I er my products and services and business? Pretty simple. One of the most important things in sales is what? Is the personality of the person interacting with the customer. So you want people who are happier, who are teaching other people how to be happier. You want nice people, friendly people, warm people, helpful people, people that love their customers, people that love their product. Is this true?
Yeah.
Say yes. Come on.
Yes.
Hey. So if you're not doing that right now, we're going to take you out behind the hotel and beat you with sticks. Did I just say that? That's terrible. I'm sorry. So where is the factor? Well, it's in your income. You want to earn more money. You should be increasing your income at 25% per year. I'll show you how to do that. You can't expect to get rich overnight. If that ever happens, that's great. It takes much longer. I have spent thousands of hours at the university studying strategic planning and marketing and business, and I've got libraries full of books on the subject, and I've read them all and underlined all the key points. Yes, it takes time. That's the bottom line of it. According to Peter Drucker, it says from the day that you start and decide to be successful, which is crossing the millionaire mark, it takes 7 years. 7 years of steady effort. If you stop, you regress, if you go back, then it starts again. And it's a seven-year cycle. The seven-year cycle starts when you begin. You go into a decline during the learning period. You're learning at an incredible rate. You're making more mistakes than you ever made in your life. Sometimes you lose all your money or almost all of it. But Forbes says that it's like a plane that's in a crash dive. It's diving toward the ground. And the number one goal of the entrepreneur is to turn this plane around and get it and pull the stick back and get the plane moving upward before you crash. And 80% of companies crash. 80%, sometimes 90%, is they do not find a way to make more money than they're spending before they go broke. So that's very common. And the average millionaire, multimillionaire, has been broke 2.4 times. Everybody here knows what I'm talking about, right? Borrowing from your parents, borrowing from your younger brother, because he's got money and you don't. Anyway, but the point is that you do everything possible to stop the plane from crashing, to stop your business from going broke. And the only real way is to SMS. Every problem can be solved with you if you SMS your way out of it. So anyway, now you pull the plane out of the dive. Yes, yes, and you start to climb and climb and climb. And then the next 2 years, you spend paying back all the money you borrowed in the first 2 years to stay alive. And then you hit the four-year point. At the four-year point, now you're smoking. But at this point, you actually have to pull off the road and stop and put in systems, the systems that Howard teaches you. Without the systems, you can't grow. You'll actually fall apart in the air. And so therefore, you have to have sales systems, business systems, accounting systems, marketing systems. Without systems, you can't go beyond a certain point. And the certain point is driven by your own sales calls. You're just working your behind off. I was going to say something else that rhymes with crass. But you're working yourself silly just to stay alive. And at that point, which is counterintuitive, is what they say, is you have to sort of stop and sit down and do what Howard tells you and put systems in place. Now, with systems are actually multiplication factors. They now enable you to multiply your business. Everybody talks today about scaling up, which I still don't understand. But I think it means growing your business somewhere else as well as where it is. Is that right for scaling?
There's various ways to scale, but yeah.
Yeah, it's expanding your business. Yeah. But you can't expand your business unless you have systems. There were two brothers. You remember the two brothers in San Bernardino who had this little hamburger shop that was smoking?
Yeah.
And Ray Kroc, he sells milkshake machines. He's a salesman. Sells milkshake machines. Drives around in his old car and goes from little restaurant to little restaurant and sells milkshake machines. And this company starts buying so many milkshake machines that he decides to go out, and he drove all the way from Chicago back in the day, and drove all the way from Chicago to San Bernardino to look at their system. And he said, this system could be duplicated. Jump forward to today, 36,000 restaurants, never a failure, all making money and profits because of the systems. So therefore, think about a system. Think of a sort of automating something so that everybody can do it. That's what IBM did. Trained. And so their people were so well trained. I mean, you worked with IBM, and they made you just happy. You're just happy to be an IBM client, and you were willing to pay whatever they charged because it was always free plus a profit. That's pretty good strategy, isn't it? Selling free plus a profit? Okay. I want a percentage of all your profits from using this technique. To send people to your house at night. And ask. One of the things I teach and preach is what I call the three-goal method. Imagine that you have a magic wand, and you can wave this magic wand, and you can have anything you can imagine if you can write it down. Now, I say this over and over again, and I love you, but the words are write it down. Is get yourself a spiral notebook and write down your goals. Every time you write down your goals, you program them deeper into your subconscious mind, and then at a certain point, it triggers what is called the superconscious mind. And the superconscious mind works 24 hours a day to attract into your life everything and everyone that you need to achieve your goals, as long as you write it down. And the more often you write it down. When I was starting off in life, broke as usual, going from door to door, making little sales, I could tell you for the first 5 years of my working life how much I had in the world at any given time because it was in my pocket. Anybody been in that situation? We know exactly how many dollars and cents we have because that's all we have. Anyway, and... lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? Yeah. And then I began to set goals. And then what you do is you ask the question, if my life was perfect in every way, how would it be different from today? What would I have? And there's only four ways to improve your life. Four ways. First of all, you can do more of some things. And second of all, you can do less of others. Do you know that 50% of entrepreneurial time is wasted in idle activities and talking to friends and drinking coffee and playing on the computer? Do you know what the number one reason for business success is? High sales. What is the number one reason for business failure? Low sales. What percentage of your time should you be spending calling on customers? What percentage? 80%. Thank you. Jeez. Jeez, you got them well-trained, Howard. Son of a gun. I don't even need to continue. So, number one, decide exactly what you want. Number two, write it down. Oh, yes. When I started off, I came across this article, and it said, write down your goals every day for a month and see what happens. So I got a spiral notebook, and I wrote down my goals every day. And write them in the present tense as though they're already true. I earn X number of dollars in 2025 by January 1st or December 31st. In other words, give a really clear answer. So a child, Einstein said a six-year-old child should be able to understand your goal and be able to tell it to another six-year-old child. If it's any more complicated than that, then you don't know what you want. And how can a kid figure it out? I want to be happy. Shut the up. Just do something useful and you'll be happy. Make a sale. You'll be happy. SMS, make more money. You'll be happier. Be happier all the time. So make your job is to be really happy, making other people really happy. And if you do that, you could have a wonderful life. And if you don't, you just have to keep coming back to these conferences. You know, we in California, which is where I live, we have an expression. I don't like to use it because it's colorful, but you don't have to listen. It's called a bitch slap. Yeah, it's too late. It's called a bitch slap, and you know what it is? That's a whack right across the face. Well, people who don't have written goals and who want to be successful need a bitch slap. I used to offer a coaching program. I charged $5,000 a year, and that included, today it would be $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 more, but it was $5,000 a year. It included 4 days with me and a group of other entrepreneurs, average 30. That way I could justify spending 4 days with these people. I developed a series of exercises for them to run their businesses better, to MMM by SMSing, but also by having a wonderful family life and using their time well and so on. Anyway, people were saving $5,000, this is in the recession, that's a lot of money. I don't know if I can afford it. Well, by the way, anybody can afford anything if they want it badly enough. Anyway, so I said, okay, I'll give you a guarantee. I call it my double-double guarantee. If you will double your income and double your time off within 5 years. Within 1 year. You'll double your income and double your time off within 1 year, which was my claim to fame for the coaching program. They had to have a income of a minimum of $100,000. Many of them were earning $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, but minimum cutoff was $100,000. So my guarantee was that they would increase their income by a minimum of $100,000, or at the end of the year, I would give them their money back. And I offered the program for 7 years. I put more than 1,000 entrepreneurs like yourself through the program. Obviously not as good as Howard's. But, you know, everybody tries to copy Howard. They never can do it properly because they don't have the depth of knowledge and experience, but we all try to copy Howard. Anyway, so I had this little program out in San Diego, put 1,000 people through it in 7 years. You know how many refunds I got, refund requests? Not one. Because everybody doubled their income within 30 days. And you know what it was? It was very simple. I said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to your new best friend. And I would hand out spiral notebooks, like school notebooks. I would hand out spiral notebooks, and I said, this is your new best friend. This is your guarantee that you'll double your income. And here's the exercise. Open it up to the first page and write goals, today's date, and write down 10 goals that you'd like to accomplish in the next 12 months. One-year goals are much better than 5 or 10-year goals because they're more immediate. They stimulate more action. So write down 10 goals, and wait until they wrote down 10. You can write down more if you like, but it must be a minimum of 10. Now, I want you to look at that list of goals and say, what one goal, if you achieved it, would have the greatest positive impact on your life, which would be, which one will make you the happiest? And so they would say, all right, now turn to the next page and write down 20 ideas to achieve this goal, write the goal. And almost always it's an income goal. Sometimes it's a health goal, relationship goal, travel goal, whatever. And write it down. And then write down 20 ways that you can accomplish your most important goal. This is called the 20 idea method, the 20 idea method. So 10 goals, pick one, write down 20 ideas. Your life will change forever. You'll never be the same again. And I read this, and I was naive, I was open-minded. I'm listening to it, and it seemed like a good idea. I tried it, and it changed my life forever. Then, it's not over. Then, tomorrow, you take and you go to a clean page, and you write down your 10 goals again without looking back. Without looking back. No cheating. You simply write down your 10 goals from memory. What will happen? You'll come up with different goals, different definitions of the goal, different order. Some goals will drop off. New goals will drop on. Next morning, turn to a clean page without looking back. Write down your 10 goals. Do it for a month. Every single person doubled and tripled their income within a month. They couldn't believe it. When they came back to the next session, I say, okay, let's start off. How many people wrote down 10 goals every day? Well, surprisingly enough, a lot of them didn't. Those are the kind of people that don't come to Howard Seminar. They just didn't do it. They heard it. They discussed it. I say, how many people did it? Probably 70%, 60, 70%. I say, what results did you get? And oh my God, you couldn't get out of control. I never made so much money in my whole life. Geez, we bought a new house. This is 90 days in. We bought a new house. We've moved to a bigger office. I mean, the stuff that they were sharing was wonderful. And it was wonderful for me because I never had to give a refund. Everybody made so much. Not a person who went through my program. Some of them were at $500,000 a year already. They made a million or more. Why? Because of writing down their goals, 10 goals, each day, fresh page, spiral notebook. Now, you just had your final exam from the Brian Tracy program. And the final exam is, are you going to do this? How many people are already doing this? Yes, yes, and I want you, everybody here, please, it's a miraculous thing. It's unbelievable. No matter how skeptical you are, and we're all skeptical, we all wonder, but all I'm asking, it takes approximately 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day and a spiral notebook. I just got a message from someone who went through this program. He said, they're sold out of spiral notebooks in my town. Because everybody's buying spiral notebooks and writing down their goals. What if there was a rich person who said, I love you so much, I'm going to give you anything you want, just write it down. Write down 10 things that you want. Just write down 10 things that you want every month so I can be sure that they're true, and I will write you a check for whatever they are. What if you had that? Well, the fact is you do have it. You are so smart. Do you know that your brain has something like 100 million cells, 100 million cells. And they're like muscles, by the way. You can become smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter Nobody's IQ is fixed. They can sometimes try to tell you that, but it's just like muscles. Nobody looks at Schwarzenegger and says, boy, he sure is lucky to have all those muscles. Schwarzenegger works out 3 to 4 hours a day in the gym. He pumps iron, and he's done this all his life. Anyway, so you can pump mental iron. The way you pump mental iron is write down your goals. Now, you have 100 million cells. Each of those cells is connected to 20 million other cells. So when you think a thought, it just sends out like an electrical connection throughout your brain. When you're emotional, when you're happy, when you're excited, when you write down your goals, you're activating millions and millions, at least 20 million cells. So what does this mean? Have you heard this statistic before? The statistic is that you can think more thoughts than all the molecules in the known universe. That's how smart you are. And what do people use this incredible brain for? Watching television, reading the comic strip, drinking in the local bar, sitting shooting the you-know-what with people in the office. It's enough to drive you to drink. Okay. You don't know anything about that, do you? fraud. Okay. The third key, write it down. The third key is to identify the obstacles that stand in your way. I mean, why aren't you there already? If you're clear about what you want, why don't you already have it? And be tough on yourself. Ziglar, Tom, are you here? Yeah. Zig used to say, if you'll be hard on yourself, life will be easy on you. And if you insist upon being easy on yourself, life is going to be very hard on you. Isn't that right, Tom? Yes, beautiful. Beautiful statement. So be tough on yourself. Raise the bar. Now, there was a man at the University of Tel Aviv named Elihu Goldratt who wrote a book many years ago, and it was called The Goal. And since this is my subject, I bought and read the book. And the book has been a bestseller ever since he wrote it, 30, 40 years. And in The Goal, he identifies one of the most important things that you'll ever learn. It's called the theory of constraints. And what he said is that between you and anything that you want to accomplish, there is a constraint, like a choke point. There's something that is stopping you from achieving the goal. And your goal is to find the choke point. And very often, it's in your business situation. Very often, it's inside yourself. You're lacking a quality. A quality could be good time management, which we'll talk about tomorrow. But quality could be lack of a skill. I found that what was holding me back was a lack of closing skills. So I became an expert on closing the sale. My books, tapes, courses are all available, by the way. You watch, you read, or listen to my programs on the 24 techniques for closing the sale, and you'll double your income the next day. It's just, and not a single trick, no pressure, no nothing. It's just simple, powerful, practical ways to ask the person to buy now. And if you read my stuff, I've had countless people say, I read your book on goals, I read your book on closing the sale, and now I'm rich. It made me rich. Now I can close almost every sale with every qualified customer. I know so many different ways to ask very pleasantly, politely, professionally for a decision. And so if you become great at closing the sale, you will double your income the next day. And then double it again, and double it again, and double it again. You're making so much money, you're throwing up. But the answer is, what is the constraint that holds you back? And behind every constraint, there's another constraint. So let's say the constraint is the lack of a skill. Okay, we identify that. If I had the skill of closing sales, I could close twice as many sales with qualified prospects. So what's the constraint behind that? Well, maybe it's lack of discipline. Maybe it's lack of decision. Maybe it's lack of ambition. Maybe it's fear. Fear is the greatest single obstacle to success of any kind. Fear holds you back. Fear of rejection. Fear of failure. What if it doesn't work? What if I lose my time? What if I lose my money? And it's okay to have those fears because you've been burned. But the key is to overcome the fear. Now, how do you overcome a fear? Well, you do the thing you fear over and over, and the fear goes away and never comes back. Just do it. Just force yourself. You know, face the fear and do it anyway. I think that's also from Zig. Just face the fear and do it anyway. And do it over and over again. And each time you do the thing you fear, like knocking on the door, calling the prospect, what happens is your fear gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and finally, it disappears. Fear holds us back perhaps more than any other factor. And you can eliminate the fear by just doing it over and over until it goes away. And there's no other way. In psychology, there's no other way. Okay. So number five, identify the knowledge, information, and skills that you will need to achieve your goal. In other words, to achieve something you've never achieved before, you must become someone you've never been before. You must have skills and knowledge that you've never had before. But wonderfully enough, all the skills and knowledge that you possibly need to be wealthy are available at your fingertips for pennies or for free. You can learn more about wealth creation in this conference than you could if you spent years on your own trying to figure it out. And I say that because I've known Howard all my life, and he's a great man. He teaches the very best stuff. I mean, he's taught me so much. Anyway, my point is that you can learn anything you need to learn. You're so smart. You're so smart. You could learn anything. I remember once I said in a seminar, this is not rocket science. And a gentleman came up to me and he said, you know, I'd heard that expression several times. And I thought, well, I've always been interested in rocket science. I had rocket toys and rocket books and things like that. I said, I wonder what it would cost, what would it take to get a degree in rocket science? So we went to the university and they said that there was an associate course that you could take on evenings and weekends. And so he spent a year taking courses in rocket science. He said, I have a degree in rocket science. He said, I know it's not hard. I was talking about sales techniques. I know it's not hard. It's not rocket science. I got a degree in rocket science, and I did poorly in school. Everybody here in this room could have a degree in rocket science. That's how smart you are. And you could be learning two or three other things at once. Please never, 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 never let the lack of some knowledge or skill hold you back. Because whatever it is, you can learn it. And if there's somebody else who is good at it, you know what you do? You say, geez, you're really good at that. What could I do to become better? And they'll tell you. People will always tell you what to do. They say, read this book, listen to this program, go to this seminar, do these three things. This is what changed my life. In other words, it's amazing. People love to help other people to be more successful. That person sitting next to you can make you a millionaire. The person sitting next to you can make you a millionaire. And you know how you find out? You say, what one tip would you give me if I wanted to be a millionaire? And they'll give you it. Everybody here has one tip, don't you? Say yes. Yes. Of course. Make more calls. Get up earlier. Work harder. Stay later. Upgrade your knowledge in this. Get rid of this person. That's a big one. But the thing is that somebody will tell you what they did, what changed their life, what they started to do that they weren't doing. Remember, to achieve a goal that you've never achieved before, you've got to do things you've never done before. Find out what they are. And who do you ask? If you want to be rich, you don't ask poor people. Are you with me on this? So you ask people that are rich or are obviously going to be rich, and they will tell you. They have no time for wasting time, blah, 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 but by gum, they will tell you how to become rich. They will stop whatever they're doing to help a person who asks them for advice. I do. I have complete strangers come to my office, and they say, I know that you're successful. Can you give me some advice on how I can be successful too? Whatever I'm doing, I stop it and go to work to help them. And by the way, I'm running out of time here. So number six, identify the people whose help you will need to be successful. And one of the most important people in your life is your bank manager. Form a good relationship with the bank manager. Keep the bank manager informed. Always tell the bank manager if you're going to be late on a payment. But identify the people whose help you will need. And then develop a plan to take good care of them, to make them happier when they work with you rather than someone else. Make a list of everything that you have to do to achieve your goal. This is the 20-idea method. And then what you do is you say, of all the things on this list, what's the one thing that will help me the most at this time? And start work on that. And as my friend Robert Allen says, do the worst first. Do the worst first. Do the one big task that's most important. And book, Eat That Frog. Has anybody read Eat That Frog? Oh, well, thank you very much. God bless you. As in fact, I've just rewritten the book, and it's going to be coming out again in the fourth edition, and the fourth edition is mind-blowing. It's so many changes and improvements in the book. It sold millions of copies in 55 languages. 55 languages. Best-selling book on time management in the world today, I'm happy to say. And it has one idea and one major idea, and that is to do the worst first, is pick your most important task, the ugliest frog, the one that you're most likely to procrastinate on, and by gum, just do it. Don't do anything but that. Just discipline yourself. If you can discipline yourself to do the worst, most important, most valuable task to 100% completion, not 95%. Big danger when people go to 95% and then take a break and never get back. Do you know that 55% of people who go to college don't get degrees because they leave before they get their degree? So none of their college is of any value in the rest of their lives. They spend 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years and they didn't use that one last thing to get their degree. Don't be like that. Finish things. Develop the habit of finishing your most important tasks until it becomes automatic and easy. And you tell people, I'm sorry, I have to finish this today. I'm going to finish this by Friday. In other words, do it completely. Finish your task. We say complete your task. Complete your task. Complete your task completion. All success in all of life is from task completion. All failure is from failure to perform, failure to complete your task. So, therefore, pick your most important task to achieve your most important goal and start work on that, and work on that only, nonstop. Don't do anything else but that until it's done. And anything that you do repeatedly becomes what? It becomes a habit. And this is the habit of success. This is the habit of wealth. Wealthy people complete their tasks. Poor people don't. Poor people must be supervised. Poor people must be checked on to make sure that they're still working and doing the valuable thing. Rich people don't. Rich people are the checkers. Rich people are the people who complete their tasks and live in big houses on the hill and send their kids to private school and go to the best restaurants in town and order without looking at the right-hand column to see how hungry they are. So that you could do the same thing. You are smarter than you could ever dream of being. You have more intelligence and ability. You can achieve any goal that you can set for yourself as long as you write it down. Yes. So let's leave it at that point. And I thank you very much for the time that we spent together. And I love you guys. Thank you.
Brian Tracy, ladies and gentlemen.